niin, hyvää tervetuloa tilaisuuteen, jossa esitellään Watson Visual Recognition -ohjelmisto, ja sitten kakkososassa tulee semmoinen tilanne, kun tänään meille asennettu tämä Sapphire-Vimo, mitä se oli? Mikä meillä on asennettu?
Niin,
suomenkin
Watson Analytics.
Watson Explorer Content Analytics.
Kyllä. Sami on käynyt laittamassa nyt Watsonin siihen malliin, että se puhuu suomea.
Missä muualla maailmassa tällaista ei ole? Selvä, ole hyvä.
Kiitos. English or Finnish?
English.
Okay.
They know Finnish. You want Finnish or English?
English.
Okay, let's do it.
Suomeksi.
English. English then. The slides are in English. Okay.
No, so you can speak English.
Yeah.
Also.
Okay, he's I am
lazy in his Finnish studies. That is my.
Yes, well, my name is Sami Salkuso. I'm from IBM, working as a technical specialist there. And yeah, as was said, in this session, context is Watson visual recognition. But then somebody told me an hour ago that maybe I can show the Watson Explorer content analytics also here. So yeah, why not? So that's after the next steps. So at the end of this session. So about the Watson visual recognition, I saw first demonstration, demo one, about using the default classifier and face detection. Then I explained a certain use case that I had last spring, and then described how I approached that use case with solution version 1 and version 2, and then I have a demo, another demo about version 2, and then I explain a little bit more about what's going on in the demo application, and then a few, there's also some links and a few next steps. And then after this one, I show from this laptop about the content analytics using Finnish support, and we have 1,020 documents of Yle news items. So just briefly go through the user interface and what you can see and find out with the content analytics. And if you have any questions, please interrupt, you may get an answer also. So the first demo application is actually using the default classifier and default face detection what's in the visual recognition already in the API. And you can find it from here. It's publicly available, and the sources are also available here. So you can take a look my coding, how I did it. But in order to use the application, you need visual recognition API key. You can get it for free from Bluemix if you don't already have it. And then this one is, yeah, of course, powered by visual recognition, powered by IBM Cloud, Bluemix, and also powered by DevOps toolchains. And I explain a little bit more about the toolchains later. And yeah, sources are there. And then the actual demonstration is very simple. I will click here to take a picture, and let's see what we can see here. I use this image, and yeah, I upload it to the application, and I'm performing analysis, detecting faces using the default classifier, and then we see what Watson actually saw there. And this is always very interesting because I don't know what will happen. So detected my face, not surprisingly, but then two, three more faces were detected, and I'm male, but the score is quite low. That's surprising. Age is okay, maybe, yeah, okay. And then the green one, I think that's pretty okay score. I don't know about the age. Yeah. But then, as you can see, the female was the red one. I don't think that's correct. But then you see the score. It didn't actually know what was how to detected, so it was score is zero, so it's not. And then again age and the score, and the last one is there. So score is 0.37, age is 18 to 24. I don't know, maybe it's not right. And then what was seen in the picture using the default classifier, jury box, compartment, room, lecture room, yeah, that's good. Classroom, yeah, study hall, yeah, okay. And then the core colors, the most prominent colors in this picture. So this was, yeah, like I said, using the default classifier and face detection. And I think this shows quite good what we can do with it, and especially using the faces, you can get some smiles from others and from yourself also. It may detect correctly or it may not detect correctly. But yeah, again, I say this is using default classifier, and that's not really the main use case of this watch on visual recognition. You need something real use case to get the most benefit from the visual recognition. And one use case that I had was this: is there space in visitor parking? And we had a fixed camera, video camera location, and I had about 200 minutes of video to start with. There were something like this: with sunlight, without sunlight, with shadows, without shadows. Almost, I think, almost rainy, and so on. So all 200 minutes of video were from this location, and this was the image from the parking lot. And the idea was to get, is there space in visit parking? And okay, that sounds doable. And then I started with my first version: how to calculate cars in a parking lot. I don't really know, because it's, I can count them, but how would I teach Watson, or how would I teach any system to calculate individual cars? Not very easy. And then I decided to use just traffic lights: red, no lots available; yellow, 1 to 3 lots available; green, more than 4 lots available. But then I realized that 200 minutes of video was not nearly good enough material, because I had 45 minutes in the morning, there was maybe 2 cars coming, then there was 2 minutes in the afternoon where it's full. It was not good enough good teaching material, because when you teach, you need to extract images from the video, you need images, and the documentation says that you can get started with 10, but that's not really good. But then I used 400 images when I teached the next version, and then 5,000 images. After that one, you wouldn't get any more benefits from it. So it depends. If you have a good training material in hundreds, maybe a couple of thousand, then you can teach quite good these kind of visual recognition applications. But yeah, like I said, yeah, solution version 1, it was not good enough. And then the second version was that maybe I can then check each parking lot individually, if they are occupied or not. And that I did some pre-processing with the images, and then after that one I noticed, okay, it was actually the 200 minutes of video when I extracted pictures out of it, and then I extracted individual parking lots, it was actually good training material. So I had about 400 images where there was car in a parking lot, and then about 400 images where there was not a car in a parking lot. So that was quite okay. And then that's the second demonstration. It uses actually the same code base as the first one. And here I have some test pictures of the parking lot. So now I upload the image. I'm doing some pre-processing there, so you will see there's 22. And now we can see, if I can just, we can see that, okay, this was the image. We see there's empty space here, there's there, and then Watson also understood, okay, there's free space where there's a green rectangles and that's a score. It's basically, it's not a probability, it's not a confidence, but it's a score how Watson classifies the individual image for this classifier, because each of these, this was the image that was sent to Watson visual recognition. Each of these images was sent to the recognition, and then it came back with the score that tells, okay, 0.59, so it's pretty good for this empty space. That's also empty. It's not so good, but still 1.3. And the reason why it's not near 1, because it's obviously empty, because the both images with the which had a car and which did not have a car are actually quite similar, and so the system somehow normalizes it to about 0.5. So that actually puts in a default classifier also 0.5 is the default score that it actually reports. If the score is over that one, you would see it in your API call. The classifier, what's in it? If it's not that one, you wouldn't even see it. But in this application, I show all scores. So there's 0.042. So it's obviously not available that parking lot. And how this? Each of these images, I had 400. These images that there was a space available, I think one was this one, and there was these kind of pictures that are, that lot is available. Even if there's this van, you can see there's no car in that lot. So I had all 400 images that showed car in some of the spaces, and images that didn't have a car in some of these spaces. And then I trained using my custom classifier, and it took a couple of minutes to train it. And now I can use my custom classifier to detect these parking lots if they are free or not. And that was actually quite, I think this is quite good results, because I didn't train each of these individually, but I just took 400 images from some of these spaces. And this also shows that, like I saw the first demo about the default classifier, you get some results. You can detect faces, you can get even maybe age correct or not. And then you can get, using default classifier, you can get, okay, this is a classroom, okay, that's fine. But the real benefit comes from here, when you have some real use case to work on. This is quite common and simple use case to find out the free parking spaces, but then you could have almost any other classifier. One classifier would be, for example, detect people in this area. So, for example, in a factory floor or somewhere, you want to detect if there's move if there are people in the restricted areas. You could teach system to, okay, there's human there, but then you have like 1,000 images that has a human, 1,000 images that doesn't have a human, and then use that as a training material, and then create application to detect if there are people in that area, and then do some alerting or some other stuff. How does this sound? It's not difficult, it's not complicated, it's actually very, very simple stuff. All the APIs are documented and you can get started pretty quickly. I don't think this particular application is in use. This was my proof of concept for a customer. And then I don't actually know if they have then put this or develop this further in their own organization. Yeah, so that was the one application with a use case. And when I was developing this, I think these are the three main areas to think of when you start creating applications with that, especially with visual recognition. You need to have a use case, of course. It's like I showed the first demo, using the generic face detection or classifier, you can get some value out of it. But when you have your real use case, you then know what you want there, and you can start working with that specific use case. And when you have a use case, you need training material. That also something that may be easy to come by, or it may not be so easy. Like I said, the video what I had, 200 minutes of video, was good enough for the second version of the demo. But then if I had another use case, for example, to detect humans in this area, I didn't. That would not be so good material. So I had only maybe, I don't know, few tens of images with the humans in this area. So that's not so good. So you need to have training material, and if you have it, then that's very easy part. If you don't have it, then it actually may take quite a lot of time to get the training material, depending on the use case. And when you have it, you train Watson. And that's nothing but an API call. You chip your images with the positive examples, like there is free, the parking lot is free or not. So there are positive and negative examples, and then you just use the API call, and you would have your own classifier. And then the third one is the actual application. And that, again, maybe easy to do, it may not be so easy to do, or it may take one day, or it may take 1 month, depending on the application, what you are trying to achieve. And for the application, it's really business as usual, what you have used to do. My application was done with Node.js, and I used GitHub as a code repository, and here's, I used also the Bluemix DevOps tool change, and that means that, okay, when I commit my change to the GitHub repository, for example, development branch, I have a development pipeline that takes the code, well, it doesn't compile the Node.js, but packages it and publishes it as a Bluemix service. And again, in a master repository, or master branch, another pipeline would publish it as a let's say production application, and this helps to deploy your applications. You just need to use your development tools to do your coding, publish or make a commit, and then the tool chains would take care of the deployment of the application. And here's also image from the documentation what I just mentioned. You need to prepare training data, you need to prepare images to analyze, and you create and train your classifier. And your results, that's your application, whatever that might be.
Do I understand that for each parking slot, you create a separate model?
No, it's one classifier.
What the training samples? So you mentioned that you get the images where on certain parking slot the visit car or the smart car, but
these ones. Training sample was 400 images of where there is a car, for example, this rectangle here, this one here. So 400 those kind of images with the car, and then 400 images without a car in this one. And that was only, this was the training sample and training image, and this image is only one that's being analyzed. I don't analyze this the whole picture. I upload the picture and then I extract these 22 parking lot images and then send each of them to Watson visual recognition and I get the score back.
Yeah, and then when you classify the actual object, the actual image, you again cut the small piece and just ask whether it's empty or unmarked.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So you're not using the whole feature as an input.
Not input to Watson visual recognition service, but input to my application.
Yeah,
and then my application does the extraction or takes these images. And that's a good question. And if you use the same application with a different image from another parking lot, it wouldn't work because I require that the images is from here, it's this size, I don't remember the actual size, but then I extract this location of the image. So you can't use this as a generic application, but that's only for this use case. But then again, you could have your training material more generic, because parking lots are quite similar in everywhere. So, but then you would need to extract. When you want to analyze it, you need to extract the correct parking lot.
Yeah, I have a question. Did you use some image segmentation techniques to segment the places with a car and without a car?
No, I just I used Image Magic tool, Image Magic script to take these images, and then I went through. Okay, there is a car. I copied to the positive examples directory. So it was manually. I chose it manually. All these images with the car or without the car. It was 400 images, so it was not so bad. Other questions? A few links. I think demo application, you can get it also and find out the source code of the demo application and get the API key. Get the API key from the Bluemix and you can start using it, and then you can start, when you have your use case, you can start working on your specific use case. And here's training material. Well, I use this FFmpeg script to get the images from the video, and then Image Magic to get the actual parking lots from the images. And then here, this one is the basis. I took this code. And this one is another sample demo that does the actual similar thing. it analyzes, it detects rust, rust on the bridge. So instead of taking the whole image, this example takes, I think it was 200 by 200 pixels images, and then checks each of those individually. So there's image of the bridge, and it finds rust in these areas. But then for my use case, it wouldn't, it didn't make, it didn't make any sense to take 200 by 200 squares of a wall and then analyze if it's a free parking space. So I made it so that I take only the parking lots and analyze those ones. Yeah, and this application is also in GitHub, so you can get the source code there and start looking into it. And you can deploy it and run it on Bluemix. Questions? Yeah. And if you want to start working with this one, you can start right away. It doesn't take too much time to register the Bluemix and get the API key. Then you need, of course, the use case, what you really want to do with. You need to do the training, and you need to develop the application. And that's really all there is. It's not difficult. It's the visual recognition service is somewhere, I think it's in the US, but you have an API, documented API, and that's all you use. That's the only thing you need to use with that one. You can teach it. Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay, good.
And you're right.
Yeah, of course, this Watson visual recognition is only one service available. I think you even know much more than I do about the other ones. But there are conversation API, and there's even chatbot talking Finnish running in at the Kela site. You can try that out. And even though we don't support Finnish has Finnish is not a supported language in this one, but it doesn't really matter what language you use with the chatbot or conversation API, because you teach basically intents and entities, and you can use any language. Kelan chatbot, it might even be relevant to this audience for students and student move to, I don't know the English word, asumislisästä yleisen asumistuen saajaksi. Ja sitten jos me laitetaan tänne, oli se. Miten? Eli miten saan tukea? No yleensä helpoin tapa. Okei, no jos mä laitan vielä, että saan tämän olen yli 40. En tiedä ymmärtääkö näitä kaikkia, mutta okei, ja I can still get some, even if I'm over 40. And this was done together with Kela people. They have received quite a lot of questions from students, and then using those questions with the correct answers, they taught the system to answer these kind of questions. Yeah,
that if it's just key-based classification, then it might not produce the real good quality of the classification.
Yeah, that's true. But this one also, there's also training behind this one. If you have many similar questions, then you don't have to ask specifically all those questions to get the same answer. But
there's you get. As I said, it's based on the keywords, so it's just the as much certain keywords happen in the answers and questions, then it's still mostly the same thought.
Yeah, but still you can teach it.
Are there any activities in the IBM toward the Finnish language? I mean,
next topic of skills.
Okay.
We just set up an environment here, or Sami did. Today, where we've combined our content, so text downloads with a Finnish parser created by Google University. So we will.
So it's integrated to the Explorer, but it's not yet available as a separate service from the Google
No, so the Finnish capabilities are built on an open source asset by Google University, and we just bolted that together with our. Not available as IBM supported Finnish language support.
But are you going to do this?
We hope to.
Okay.
But there's something with licenses, open source licenses used with this particular parser that we've now installed, or Sami has installed. But there is another one which says which wouldn't have. It's likely it might be a part of our product, but its quality of Finnish is not even close to that what this earlier version from Google is. This is where it comes to Finnish.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you know what other services are available in a Watson area, speech text to speech, and so on. These are, of course, some of the services, but then there are a lot more services from the Bluemix side. Not only specific to Watson services, but then for all other application development areas, you can get virtual servers, bare metal servers. You can get storage from Bluemix. Networking, CDN networking. And containers, Docker containers, Kubernetes clusters, but then also you have quite a lot of boilerplates. For example, there's Node.js CloudHunt web starter, so you can get Node.js application running in the Bluemix pretty easily. My both demos were done using Node.js application and running on Bluemix, and there are other services. You have API Connect services, you have blockchain services, business rules, message hub application servers, quite a lot of different services that are needed, especially if you're building quite large applications. There are also third-party services available from Bluemix. I don't know if you have used this one, but again, if you sign up with Bluemix, you can have a free tier. You can run your own applications. Like my applications, they are running free without paying if it doesn't consume too much resources. And then there are Swift, Node.js, Java runtimes, and all these are available. And for data and analytics, you can get Spark there, you can get big insights, can get databases from Bluemix, so you don't have to install your own databases, and so on. So there are, as you can see, there's machine learning, streaming analytics, weather company data is available from Bluemix, so quite a lot of different services that are there. And then for DevOps services, there's continuous delivery is the one that I showed about automatically deploying applications to test environments or production environments whenever there's a change in the code. And you can have your tool chains to do testing before releasing the production and so on. And that's also free service available. Yeah. And then we have an architecture center available. There's quite good documentation about all different areas what we have and related to cloud environments, reference architectures about, for example, cognitive applications. You have an overview, you have a reference architecture, what should be there, or what you can add in your when you're doing this kind of application. And so on. There are quite a lot of stuff and actually good stuff in this architecture center. Questions? So it's very simple stuff. You can start using it right away. And there's no magic behind it.
So we try to organize in November, of course. Alexei has only this last year, this year, this semester, we have two courses.
Okay, in all of the Bloom mix services, or? Yeah, okay.
Some know, but coding not can be inside. So it's not about all the services, but also the services.
Okay, coming here, plus, yeah. This is
a bit separate.
Okay, that's a bit of an introduction. I'm Timo Haavisto, also from IBM. I'm working as a client exec role for Finnish social and health services. Glad to be here. Something that we discussed while driving here is the variety of use cases that would be possible with a visual recognition. And probably as you start to trial it and use it, you will kind of come up, or your friends and neighbors will come up with the use cases. But something that just popped up while we discussed coming here is the variety of applications that you could utilize for guidance and traffic. You could use the same logic with a very low-cost infrastructure, since probably even the parking slots around here are monitored by security cameras. So, giving an idea on what's the availability of parking space around the area wouldn't need to have any additional infrastructure investments, but you could utilize the same stream that is now used for other purposes. Same could apply to the queue to the restaurant. It might be a nice internal service to know when the queue is at shortest around lunchtime. If someone would do a trial on facial kind of emotional recognition, you could even do a grading on does it seem to be good food or not, whether I should take a walk to McDonald's. But then when it comes to the additional use cases, try to be wild with your imagination. You can go only so far kind of trying to think based on kind of the abstract description of the service. But when going into a use case and executing, really building a use case, that's where the innovations come in. So strongly suggest that you start trialing these services, and not only the visual recognition, but also, for example, what will be demonstrated next, the capability of parsing Finnish content. Some of the use cases that we've discussed, and probably will go further on, because also is parsing the journal text on health and social work, workers and professionals notes. Since nowadays in health data in Finland, for example, it's only kind of a limited set of data that is collected in a structured means. And so far we've only been able to use the structured element of that data when it comes to analytics. No symptoms, for example, are stored in structured means. I'm feeling dizzy, I'm feeling lonely, stuff like that has not been possible to be used in creating, for example, predictive models. These kind of symptoms for a young person might most likely lead to a person getting distracted by some means, or these kind of symptoms are an obvious sign of a person's disease getting into a more escalated phase. Now this could just as well apply to customer feedback for a commercial operator. Service worker reports that repairs elevators or whatever. So, and then if you start thinking about the combinations of combining the information that you could get from IoT devices, including video cameras, combining that intelligence with the stuff that you could get from freeform expressions. If your imagination run wild. Next.
All right, so. I was told that I should do a demonstration about this content analytics, and this is your environment that we just installed, and I saw first the admin part and explain how this actually works, and then I saw the actual content miner application that most of you would actually be using.
So let's log into the administration part, and that I want to show this because.
Well, it's good to know how this works. So, yeah, there's basically three parts. First is the crawl and import. So you import the documentation, import Finnish text, import other text. Second one is the parsing and indexing. And then third one is the actual application. And we imported news from Yle. That's 1,020 news items from early October, late September, and I imported using CSV file. Okay, then when I import it comes to the parsing part and indexing part, and then in the heart of this machine, there is UIMA pipeline, where the work actually happens. So we first detect the language, then we use the linguistic analysis annotator to, here we actually call parser developed by Turku and get the conv format back, and then I map that data to the UMA pipeline cache object so that we can use later in the pipeline to find out, use the pattern matcher annotator to find out, for example, all the nouns and all the verbs and so on. Then I could have another annotators also in the pipeline, and you can also build your own.
I lost.
Okay. You can build your own annotators also, again, in your specific use cases. But then, this is something that happens. We set it up once, and hopefully you don't really need to work on this level so much, but what you want to work is to use the actual content miner application. And this is the application using now, 1,020 documents of Finnish news text. And there's these facets. You can do a navigation. Let's take, for example, sanaluokat, all the nouns. You can see how much of these nouns are in those 1,000 documents. There's Suomi, aika, and so on. You can find out all the verbs, negative verbs, non-negative verbs, and so on. There's a current present form and past form and so on. And then there are, for example, sentences, lauserakenteita, tilalause, on tulossa, something is coming, and so on. So you can, this is one sample how you can start mining what your content, what you have in your data. Then there are other screens, for example, deviations. You can see, let's take time scale as a day. Okay, there's documents using A-yhteyksiä. Something has happened in the 2nd of October with A-yhteyksiä. Then you, and let's see if I can find something interesting here. Yeah, there's of course Catalonia had, okay, there's some news about Catalonia on this day and so on. And you can also compare if there's omistusrakenne and existentiaalilause in the same documents. Catalonia had, Catalonia järjestettiin symbolinen, okay, there's some documents about the Spain and Catalonia. And then we just created a custom rule. For example, we show all terms with Jyväskylä in the document. We see that, okay, Jyväskylässä there's 14 documents Jyväskylä, and there's again 14 Jyväskylä, and so on. So we can find out all the forms of the word, not only one Jyväskylä, but also Jyväskylän, Jyväskylässä, Jyväskyläläisellä, Jyväskyläläinen, ja niin edelleen, and so on. This is something that, okay, I can find out something in this data. But as said earlier, if you have your own use case, you know what you want to find out. If you have like patient data that you think that, okay, in the patient data I can see the patient is getting depression, then you start looking that depression in this material. If you can really find out whether the patient really has a depression, if you can see the signs before it's actually diagnosed or something, you can actually save quite a lot of time and money with it. Any questions about this one? Like I said, this I haven't done really content mining of this news data, so I don't really haven't found out what's something I didn't know before.
Can you take a view where it shows kind of the content that it finds the matches? So something that is pretty handy when you are seeking for some scenario is to have kind of quotes on this is where we found the term, for example. So this is the original text where it bases the analytics on. This might be accurate, kind of analyzes, or it might not. So it might be that you would need to fine-tune your annotator, for example, to be more exact on the, what you are trying to find. But now if we take this to a context of browsing, again, medical data or social data, where there is lots of pre-text journal statements, that would mean that if we take, for example, a facet there of some risk factor and then the symptoms, we could see what would be the symptoms that relate to some risk factor, and then, for example, drill down to a single patient and find out what are the journals this existed. Maybe even go to a time scale and find when those have existed, whether the patient has history on dizziness earlier. Okay, then just take the kind of times when the dizziness has appeared and find out whether there's been a certain combination of medication. That something that we've done, or in fact one of our experts has done, for example, at Oulu University Hospital, is he gained access or a data set with a special permission on their data, and their interest and use case was to find whether there's been mistakes or dangerous situations or close by situations when it comes to medication. So wrong dosing, the patient getting another patient's medication, stuff like that. And they have their own doubts on, we most likely will have the markers that gives us the statistics on what would be the departments and what would be the meds that these problems appear most commonly with, and what would be the preventive actions that has the most effect, since they have had these quality projects on different departments. New trial, getting your quality higher on how you write down the journal texts, and you try, you do quality project on dosing the medicines, and then they want to find out whether what would be the level of effect that has given, and the effect really is coming out from not something that's diagnosed or structured information, but whether the patients are anymore having dizziness, pahoinvointi, feeling of illness, or whatever that may be. And now as they browse through that data, they suddenly realized that, okay, we were thinking, can you really find out what are the medicines or the brand names that we do most mistakes in dosing with? And they said, oh, we wouldn't have guessed. We thought that it was totally different, these psychiatric meds. And now it seems that it's those cardiac medicines that where we have most. Okay, can you see the departments where we have most of these close by situations? And now they are all, they are pretty hot about it. Since now they see that they have insights to the information that wasn't available for them ever earlier. But again, this applies to many industries.
And what you just explained, here's one example of using the deviation. In all these 1,000 documents, word please is for some reason on this date occurred much more than usually. So we can start digging in that day, and then we see, okay, there's Spain, there's Las Vegas, okay, we know what was in it. But this kind of approach would be, if this was like feedback for products or something, you could have like a battery malfunction here, okay, what's going on in there, and so on. So again, that depends what you are trying to achieve, what you are trying to find out, what's your use case. Then you start looking for that specific words or specific sentences for that use case.
Any questions?
So far this explorer is for the expert. I mean, it's a visual tool with a pre-embedded functionality to make the different analysis. And to make a table, of course, you need this pipeline of natural language processing to incorporate the achievements of the group with usage and the data libraries. In many of our cases, when we design the applications, we need the API access to the certain functionality. And with the English language, we utilize the natural language understanding service and get a lot of entities or keywords or some semantic roles and all the stuff. So the same, we would like to get analyzing the Finnish language. The question is, would it be possible, or whether this explorer supports the API through which we can access the raw data from that pipeline?
Yeah, yes, there's a REST API available,
get, for example, all the entities which are recognized in the Finnish text, or keywords, or...
I don't know how details you can get, but it's actually, in the installation directory, you can find the REST API documentation.
Okay.
What you can.
I recommend that who is interested remains here, because we would like that some students who has interest and will start to work on the. And please tell about your team. Very good.
Get up, sir.
No
sales money. He is the leader of the team, and who wants would like to work in this master thesis, doctoral thesis, or we have students in psychology and so on. So we start now, right to there. And if you want to discuss more, remain here and you can continue.
Yeah, so we are working with Watson and using the Watson services in Bluemix, and now on the Watson Explorer content analytics site. To make prototypes for healthcare applications.
So who wants to continue discussion remain in this room? You have time. Thank you very much that we could get this nice presentation and this possibility to have. We are the first in the world who has Finnish language things, not inside.